We haven't had any rumors in about 3 months. What's going on, guys?
I'm just wondering, would it somewhat undercut cocoa sales and education to push the 1000EX MS DOS for educational purposes, or do you perceive two separate markets?
Would it be pretty difficult to undercut the price of a color computer with a 1000 being that one of them's $219 and the other $799. There's no way we could bring the 1000 under $219.
It'd be real good. Of course, if we did that, we'd sell the color computer for $29.95. What you'll see is experiments in marketing approaches on all of the various machines that Radio Shack offers. And what we have is not one answer to everybody's problem, but multiple answers to everybody's problems. That makes us different from everybody else in the computer marketplace. We don't have just one answer. So what you'll see is directed vertical market advertising for specific product types to specific areas in business, education, and the home. So yes, you'll see specialized advertising on the EX and SX, usually to middle and high school and college. You'll see color computers, model 4s and EXs being promoted into the elementary, kindergarten, K through 8 grade level. It's a marketing strategy we're going to try. We've been trying it with a certain amount of success over the last 6 or 8 months. It's working. If it works, don't fix it. If it's broke, do something else.
Barry, I know you're not with personnel, but I wanted to make a suggestion as far as the technical manuals are concerned that you consider hiring a male for the position.
Well,
That's not his job. He doesn't hire people.
Good thing he was changing tapes.
Consider the source. I've noted. It's a nice way to answer telex. Noted.
I'd like to know what the intended market strategies are for the Coco 3 in terms of applications, user demographics, competition with other manufacturers' products. Where are you going to sell it?
First of all, there is no competition for the Coco 3. We figure that approximately 80% of the people that buy a Coco 3 will own a Coco 2. We still think that there's a lot of entry-level people that will want to buy a Coco 2. It makes a lot of sense. I have a Coco 3 in the office, and it's a normal system. Okay? That's a 128K upgraded to 512, CM8 color monitor, Daisy Wheel printer, multi-pack interface with dual disk drives and a 15-meg hard disk. That's normal.
Barry, no, it's 35. That's a normal hard disk, 35 meg.
I do with what I have.
No, different. You have 15?
No,
perfectly
70.
Normal. That's what I'm using back in my office, too. It's perfectly normal.
Yeah, that's normal. Now, at home, I have a Coco 2 with dual disk drives and Ace Nakata SC100. But, and a DMP430. To finish your answer, the color computer will continue as an excellent entry-level machine. We've done well with two versions. We've had a 16K, or 4K and a 16K, and a 16K and a 32K, and a 16K standard extended, and a 64K, et cetera, et cetera. Two units is a nice way to go. Obviously, we'll sell more 64Ks than we do 128s because we own more of them. And that's the product mix for the foreseeable future. Who's going to buy it? You are. You already did, hopefully. For those of you that did, thank you. Those of you that didn't, the vendor area will open at 11 in the morning. Demographics, I would say standard Radio Shack customer, which means that they're between the age of 25 and 60. They're white, middle class, blue or white collar worker. Their average income is about $35,000 to $40,000 a year. They're married with 1.x number of children. And both parents and the child use the machine. And the average scenario is that the parents buy the machine for the kids to use it, to learn from, and the parents end up using the machine until the kids get smart enough to say, no, this is mine. And the parents have to go buy another one. And that's the scenario. And in some cases, yes, I'll admit it, some cases the parents will actually go in and buy an MS-DOS machine because that's a real computer, right? They'll take it home, give the color computer to the kids. They'll use the 1000 or their MS-DOS machine for about a month, and then they'll give the MS-DOS machine to the kids, take the color computer back so they can get some work done.
Steve, you won't comment on what you're working on, but can you tell us what kind of time frame we're looking at as to when to expect some really good software?
Sometime my lifetime, but my lifetime... I want you to know I've been asking the same question. But I have a feeling that if I don't get out soon, my lifetime will be radically shortened.
I'd first like to thank you folks for doing what overall I think is a rather good job with the Coco 3. You surprised the heck out of me in many respects. I have many questions about it, but there are two I'd like to ask here.
Two questions.
One regards what Dale on the table has referred to as the MoCo. A couple of weeks ago, I managed to sell Dale a monochrome monitor, and he hooked it up to his Coco 3, and he kind of liked the display he got. Now, I noticed the Tandy sells a very fine monochrome monitor, the VM4, listed in your catalog, your RS-17 catalog, on page 10. On that catalog is a very professionally, very excellently done table, which matches up all the monitors that Tandy makes with all the computers that Tandy makes and provides very informative little stuff in the boxes about what the monitor will do with this and that machine and what's recommended. And it's really very nicely done. I was very impressed, very professional, except for one thing. At no point in that table did you list the fact that your VM4 will work very nicely with the Coco 2 and provide those who cannot afford $300 for your very excellent CM8 a very nice, crisp, sharp, 80-column display and, admittedly, sacrificing color,
What's your question?
Nice graphics.
I'd like to know
why you didn't list it.
Why we didn't list it. Very simple. The chart was created by the buyer for the MS-DOS computers because there is so much confusion about which monitor works with what board in what computer. However, in the future...
Thank you.
But it was very elegantly stated.
Yes, we will take that under advisement, and I will not guarantee that it will get corrected soon. But the next opportunity where we decide to destroy the plates, the catalog is printed on, therefore doing new stats, then the chart will be amended.
And I think this is a great opportunity to let anybody that doesn't know out there, if there is anybody, that you can hook a monochrome monitor up to a color computer.
And yes, you can hook up an RGB analog to it at the same time.
That's right.
And a TV.
And a TV at the same time and run all three simultaneously.
And your eyes will be going back and forth in every which way.
But imagine putting one window on each screen.
Sorry, you can't do that.
You can't do that. I'm a dreamer. Maybe next year. Second question.
One other question was... I don't want to embarrass you folks. You're nice people. But why didn't you have your nice people out in Iowa set things up so that those folks who happen to be using a disk 1.0 ROM in their Tandy controller, why didn't you ask them to set things up so it patched in a DOS command? I mean, after all...
It's more a contractual agreement with Microsoft than any other reason. We can't tamper with certain parts of Microsoft's code without getting into some contractual problems. So it's...
If you notice, there were no added disk commands. Give us a real tough one. And give it to Steve.
That color computer can supposedly produce 640 by 225 resolution, and I'd like to know if the CM8 monitor can display that. Why didn't Tandy make that the maximum resolution?
Did you sit in on Mark's talk this morning, or were you one of those unfortunate types that was 15 feet down the hall?
The reason we decided to take that approach was because the RGB monitor we sell can display 225. Unfortunately, very little else that is available can do that. We wanted to put out a system convention that would suit everybody and not just those people who were fortunate enough to be able to afford the CM8. Our competition, incidentally, has the same problem. They can't display over 192 scan lines on a TV or most monitors either. If you've noticed on a lot of the MS-DOS machines, if you hook them up to a TV, you don't see that last line. It's just a fact of physics, and we tried to do what was most useful to the installed base and come up with a single way of doing it and not have everybody writing different video displays.
So as an official policy, we've chosen 640 by 192 and 80 by 24. Okay.
Hello. I just wanted to point out that those of us who added black and white monitors to our Coco 2s often took the signal off after before the color was mixed in. Gives you a nice crisp display on a monochrome monitor. When I hooked my Coco 3 up today to my black and white monitor, get vertical lines on a black and white.
If you'll use the palette commands,
we figured some of that out.
That will get rid of your problem.
Palette what?
Well, on the standard Coco screen, it's, I think, palette 12, 0, palette 13, 32.
Also, there is a poke that you can do, location I'm not aware of at this time, that will actually tell the GIMI chip to make sure that you are in a monochrome mode. This is handled very nicely under OS9. You have a command that allows you to set your monitor type to either be color, monochrome, or RGB. And when you set it for RGB, the composite video is also set to monochrome. So that is a very nice way of handling it. It will give you a little bit of gray tones, but more importantly, the color burst signal is taken away, and you get a very, very sharp picture, better than just setting your palettes.
One thing to add. Okay, that's OS9 level 2.
Yes.
You're speaking of. And also, the palette commands 12 and 13 work on the standard display, but if you're in a width 40 or a width 80, then your palettes are 0 and 8.
Okay.
you didn't, it's in Rainbow Magazine.
Also,
the tape is only $6.
Okay.
Available tomorrow or sometime real soon. As a paraphrase or overstatement before we get with the next question, the second question.
Okay.
I'll state one simple thing. Obviously, some people at the front round table have seen OS9 level 2. Some of them have actually even used it. So they sometimes know of what they speak.
Okay, the other one was just a general compatibility question. I ran a machine language program which obviously used some illegal peaks and pokes.
And it didn't work.
And it bombed out. And
right.
I just wanted to ask, if something is written according to Radio Shack guidelines, is it guaranteed to run from transport from the 2 to the 3? Is there some case that might cause it to...
There are no guarantees in this world. It more than likely, it should not have a problem, but there's just too much random chance of doing something strange, you know.
Well, do remember one statement the Radio Shack made many, many moons ago, that if you want to use more than 32K of RAM in your color computer, you should be using OS9. And if you're using OS9 level 1,
version 2.0 and you boot it on your color computer 3, it will boot fine. But some of these programs that use all available RAM, that was something that we said you should use with OS 9. So it's not guaranteed that it will work in those environments.
We're 99.9% certain that virtually all the software that we have sold, Radio Shack, will work, with the exception of about 4 or 5 products, in one way, shape, manner, or form. If your software makes direct calls to the hardware, bypasses the vectors in BASIC, or otherwise bypasses the operating system, I will tell you right now, it will not work on a Color Computer 3. The comment was made earlier, and I've made the analogy a number of times. If we had a slide of the Color Computer 3 sitting over here, I could sit up there and say, this is the new Color Computer 3. It looks just like a Color Computer 2. It's identical to it, but we have made a few changes. We changed the keyboard, the badge, the PC board, the bottom, and the back, but other than that, it's just the same. Which means that the top case is the same for both machines.
Not actually, because of the...
No, the top case, but not the back.
Well, the back of the top.
Oh, right, it's round.
Anyway, it's not going to work.
Software engineering at work over here.
The current Radio Shack distribution disk for OS 9C, in the documentation, it mentions CC2 for OS 9 level 2, but on the distribution disk, only CC1 is supplied. Will CC2 be made available as an upgrade? People who already have C.
CC2 is really more of a batch file than anything else. I don't foresee us having a newer version of C out anytime soon, because the version we've got works just fine on level 2 as it is.
I heard today that some programs will run, some programs won't. One specific I'm interested in is VIP Writer.
No.
It won't run.
That's not a product Pandy sells, you know.
It's an express order product.
It may or may not work. We don't really know.
The word that we get is that the individual modules from VIP don't. But the desktop, for some reason, does. But we can't guarantee that it does or doesn't. The combined, the $150 all of them in one type thing, for some reason it does something different than the individual standalones don't. The best way to do it is to try it.
I have a question about what we might see in the line of hard disks. Might we see a more reasonably priced, more standardized hard disk anytime in the near future?
What do you mean by standardized hard disk? Would you like one that's smaller? Do you want one that's larger? Or what?
Cheaper.
At some point in time, everything gets cheaper.
How long
are you willing to wait?
I don't understand what that's got to do with standard. It is an industry standard interface.
Which industry standard would you like us to use? You have Western Digital's, you've got Tandy's, and we've sold our fair share of hard disks. You have SCSI, you have SASE. Which industry standard would you like to choose?
What?
The cheapest one. They all cost about the same.
Well, I greatly appreciate your repositioning the arrow keys on the new keyboard of the Coco 3. The backspace key is a little too close to the enter key, and that could cause little problems.
You'll get used to it.
Do get around to re-engineering that keyboard. Could you isolate the enter and break keys a little?
If we isolated the break key anymore, it wouldn't be on the computer.
And also
the enter key, yeah, we can take that under advisement.
And also, could you make it when you have your programs, the use of templates or overlays, again, to make it user-friendly?
Are you suggesting we bring back the old chiclet keyboard?
No. I'm suggesting that you put some sort of, like, overlay that will fit over the new Coco keyboard.
That would be a chiclet keyboard to be able to do that.
No, it could be like a rubber keyboard, a rubber point, overlay.
It sounds taken. Like a good product for a third-party person to come out with.
Well, right.
I'm hoping Radio Shack would do that.
Well, you could only do it over, like, maybe the top row keys or something like that. You couldn't do it for all the keys.
What piece of software would you like to see this template work on?
Graphics and...
Which graphics package?
Things like Art Gallery and, vamped up things like Art Gallery.
Why would we want to do things like Art Gallery? I hate to say that.
Michael.
And that program is going to follow me to my grave.
I have a comment on Coco and education. I work for a school district in Pennsylvania. We have 11 elementary schools with a minimum of 20 Cocos in each school. Now they're bringing them into the individual classrooms in excess of the computer rooms. Mine arrives on Friday. And our children are very versant in the use of the Coco, and this is a special education class.
Do you know Maddie Lesnick? Do you know Maddie Lesnick?
No, I don't.
She was the regional educational coordinator based in Philadelphia. She is now the product line manager for the education.
Stan White, she did a good job in Pennsylvania. And one additional thing that Tandy did that helped to get the teachers to accept it was they offered a 50% discount on anything we purchased from the school district. And I think that really helped to sell the teachers. Okay.
Thank you. Like I said, if it works, we'll do it some more.
As far as the older, some of the older programs like the script set and all that, all the older software, will any of the stuff that came out from Radio Shack, the special stuff, particularly the script set, will that work on the disk version on the new color computer, or are there problems even with that?
No, that should work without any problem.
Scripts, it works.
I am one of the very first owner of the color computer. I bought it for my son in December of 1980. One thing I would like to ask you, though, is I bought it through a mail house, and they had a Radio Shack register number. I remember that I paid $650 for it. However, I did save $250 by not buying the logo Radio Shack.
So what's your question?
Will I be able to get a Coco 3 for 30% off if I buy it through one of those mail order catalogs?
But you won't get the support.
Well... There's always going to be mail order business, and there's always going to be people that will buy a mail order because they know everything that there is to know about the product, how to work it, how to set it up, and they have no problem making long-distance phone calls all over the country trying to find who sent it to them, and that, or calling it the wrong time of your day to get a hold of them during their normal working hours. There are a lot of reputable mail order companies that are authorized Radio Shack dealer franchise stores. And if you opt to buy from them, fine. I don't understand necessarily why they do their pricing the way they do. I do understand mail order business. I can't recommend to you one way or the other where to buy your product, primarily as long as you buy it. But I will make one statement in defense of the local Radio Shack, and that's that when you do need service, when you do need that certain service and support, don't feel rejected if they're not real anxious to help you because you've just spit in their face. by saying, I bought this product for $30 or 30% less than you sold it to me for, but I'm going to come in here and rub it in your face and then ask you to support me as a customer. We at corporate make them support you no matter where you buy the product. But personally, I would feel very guilty about doing it. I would not buy. I own my own photographic business for 3 years prior to working for Radio Shack, coming to work for Radio Shack, and I put up the same deal. In some cases, the mail order houses were selling product for cheaper than I could buy it. But when the customers came into my store with that brand new mail order camera and asked me how to load the film, they couldn't understand why I was a little bit testy.
Several, about 2 or 3 years ago, we've been hearing rumors about the Deluxe Coco, and now I see the 1000SX. I was wondering, was that the original Deluxe Coco? Somebody changed their mind?
Those products had nothing to do with each other.
We got lots of time. We got lots of questions. It's okay, I've got the same answer.
Earlier this afternoon, Steve was talking about a joystick interface for the Coco.
Yeah.
Make it a high-res joystick input.
Yeah.
Who will be distributing it? When will it be available? And will it support 225 scan lines?
Radio Shack. First of the year.
And it will support 640 by 192.
We've got time for about four more questions.
One last note, it will sell for $9.95.
Yeah, it's going to be expensive.
I just want one question.
Go ahead.
If I go into my Radio Shack store at home and buy the Coco 3, will it have OS 9 level 2 in it, or will I still have to go through the upgrade?
The products on the color computer product line are sold separately. So when you buy a Color Computer 3, you will get a Color Computer 3 with Microsoft Basic with enhancements by Microware. If you buy a disk drive, you will get a disk drive with a floppy controller, one blank diskette, and a manual. And if you buy OS 9 Level 2, you get OS 9 Level 2 with Basic 09. But when you buy one, you don't necessarily get the other two. We got some up front. Come on up front. Yeah, we got some. Run up. Come on. Run.
Come on, Dan.
Yeah,
you haven't jogged yet today. So let's get in there and move it.
You got to remember he's from Kentucky. He don't move fast.
Isn't that where they race horses?
They're from further south than we are.
No, that's where they grow grass. Kentucky bluegrass.
Okay. Back to one of the questions at the beginning about the multi-pack interfaces. On the upgrades for those, if I were to go next door tomorrow and buy one, would I still need to send it off to have it upgraded at a later date?
Well, the multi-pack interface?
Yeah.
First of all, that's a big if, because you couldn't go next door and buy one, because I don't think anybody's got them next door. Microworld got them. Okay. Wrong again. Then how come everybody's been coming up to me saying, are they ready? Are they available? Okay, obviously they didn't go to the show. Once it's been upgraded, why would it have to be sent off to be upgraded? If you bought a new one? Oh, if you bought a new multi-pack, yes, you would. Sure. Forever. And then some.
I think that question was asking me today. Once you upgrade it, will it still work with your Color Computer 2?
It will work very nicely with a Color Computer 2 with the hardware we sell. There's some third-party hardware that it will probably not work after the upgrade.
Okay.
Okay, we got this question and this lady and this lady, and that's it.
No, not guy. Not
oh, okay.
We got time. We got time. I'd like to see that guy over there.
And how about over that section, you know, those 20 people?
Yeah.
This is from Mr. Bjork. I'm not going to ask details, but I work in a Macintosh at work, and I much rather work in my Cocoa at home. But I was curious if the graphics are going to be more towards artwork or towards desktop publishing, which is what I use now.
Well, we'll probably see many packages possibly over the next several generations. No, seriously, we will probably see a lot of things in the realms of more than just doing RC graphics. We'll probably start seeing practical applications. There are many companies probably now looking at our Color Computer 3 as a very viable machine to sell software to that probably would never consider this game system before, because they hear about OS 9 with the Windows and the point-and-click environment and says, hey, this is kind of like the Macintosh. Maybe we can take our Macintosh software and bring it over to this machine and make some money. And that's the whole thing. If they feel they can make money at it, they'll do it.
You're also going to help in that. The more machines you buy, the more noise you make to your friends, to your neighbors, to anybody that's walking down the street. You know, stop in the middle of New York, roll your window down, and holler out, hey, you got your Cocoa 3 yet? You know. Consumer demand generates a lot of business and a lot of development in business. Yeah. So you can become a louder voice than you already are.
I would really very much like to have a think tank program like is available for Apple and for IBM, an outliner program that you can dump things in and dump things in and so on. That's one thing this consumer would love to demand. The other question I had was along the lines of what you're talking about, is how we can change the image from the game machine to something that's more productive. I have a business. I'm hoping I can use my Color Computer 3 with its eventual 512K in the business. I need more business applications.
The challenge that Dale put out to you this morning, you got a customer right here. As far as changing the image of the Color Computer 3, it hadn't hurt it so far. Of course, I understand you take a lot of flack from those people with those expensive semi-computers. As do I. I am sitting on an MS-DOS floor. Of course, my work is done in half the time and twice as neat.
Let's make this the last one.
No, I got one more over there. He's
good. All right. I was just wondering if there was a reason why Radio Shack didn't warn the third-party manufacturers that the address ranges FF80 to 9F would become unusable later on, which renders things like Cocomax obsolete.
Why didn't Radio Shack warn people not to bypass the operating system, not to do this, not to do that?
If I may say that those people never asked Radio Shack the question. Had they have asked the question, they probably would have gotten an answer as to what addresses they could use and what they could use.
If I can add
so,
to that.
You know, it's real simple. Don't make assumptions. It doesn't hurt to ask.
There's many people on CompuServe I talk to time and time again that are small mom-pop software development companies, and they complain time and time again that they get no support from Radio Shack. And this, that, and the other thing, I go, well, have you ever called vendor support? Have you called these numbers? Well, no, I never called them.
Well,
and that's what you got to do, is you got to talk to them. Tandy will talk to you.
You know, as a matter of fact, I mean, even in the column of somebody as unlearned as I, back as far as the introduction of the Color Computer 2, when we were talking about upward compatibility, we've always said, as long as you follow the rules, your program is upward compatible.
And there's not a great advantage to that other than the fact that as long as you maintain that upwards compatibility, you get to be compatible with an infinitely larger customer base, as opposed to some of the other people, Commodore I think was a good example, that obsolete their own equipment every 6 months, which makes it very difficult to develop software that runs. IBM is another one, believe it or not, there are software that doesn't run on every IBM PC XT that's been made.
Developers in this room that the named vendor support is a new one to them. I believe Mark has mentioned it on CompuServe. It was the first time I'd heard about it. Could you tell?
It's been around for a couple of 3 years.
Right. You know, it's again, you have to ask. I mean, we have lots of different departments that do lots of different things, and they're out there to support the people who buy our products. And, you know, don't blame us because the piece of hardware software didn't work because the vendor didn't bother to ask the question, well, what can or can't I do?
Okay, this is going to have to be it.
Okay. Do you have plans for a new multi-pack interface that will correct the problems of the old one?
Do we have plans for a new one? No. Primarily because the major market for the color computer is still the Color Computer 2. And you have to look, I understand that you're real enthusiastic about the Color Computer 3, and God knows I'm not. But you go with volume and percentages and what have you. So to say that there's never going to be a fix, we rarely use the word never. Because the next question you'd have is when? And can you get one? So, you know, the easiest way to cut it short is to say no. But who knows?
I'd like to thank the members of the Rectangular Roundtable for being with us. I'd like to thank y'all for being with us. And we'll see you tomorrow morning. Show opens at 11. Thank you very much.
Y'all come back and see us, you hear?